We left off last week. We were discussing a major issue in Hilchas Sukkah. We began by discussing the sugya that appears in the middle of the second paragraph of Hilchas Sukkah about a mechita she'en yechol lamo b'shei ruach mitzuya. If you have a wall that cannot stand up to a normal wind, that's not considered to be a mechita for the purposes of Hilchas Shabbos, for the purposes of Hilchas Sukkah. Therefore, the sukkah would presumably be psula even alav of deraisa. What exactly does it mean, ein yechol lamo? So we had a big machlokes acharonim between what the Chazanish is, big chirish, and what appears to be, I guess you want to call it the solid majority, everybody else seems to be saying. Chazanish claims that ein yechol lamo b'ruach mitzuya means that the mechitza is going to literally fall down. Either it's going to literally fall down, or it's going to halachically fall down. Namely, a wind is going to come, a normal wind is going to come, it's going to lift it 3 tefachim off the ground, which is, in effect, disqualifying it. Or the wind's going to come and it's going to knock it so it's no longer 10 tefachim high. So that's, in effect, halachically disqualifying it. Even though right now it's not windy, says the Chazon Ish, that's the chiddush of mechita she'erecha olama. But, says the Chazon Ish, if you have a mechita that's merely swaying in the wind, but it's not going anywhere. With all the wind in the world, it's still going to be 10 tefachim tall. It's still going to be within 3 tefachim. It's still not going to have any pierces. So the Chazon Ish, that's mechitas k'sheira. And others seem to disagree. The Magen Avraham, and then the Pashas, and the other Achronim, Machzor Shekel, this week, seem to all say, no, based on Rashi, that mechitas k'sheira l'amud means, pshuta k'mashmo, it can't stop standing still. It's moving, it's draying around, it's swaying in the wind. That in and of itself disqualifies the mechitza. We pointed out that according to the Magen Avraham, that's true even if there's no wind, and even if there can't be wind, even if it's indoors, even if you built all the walls around it which are blocking the wind, it doesn't matter. That's the shear of his mechitza. We had a lundus last week. That's probably part of the halacha of Moshe Mesinai. That's called the shear of mechitzas. Just as there's a shear of height of mechitza, there's a shear of width of mechitza, there's a shear of thickness of mechitza, of strength of mechitza, and that is the shear of yichol lamo b'ruach mitzuya. The question is, is there any shear to the shear? I mean, is there any amount that we would say that if it moves less than that amount, that's not considered to be moving? So if you look in the earlier poskim, you don't see any shear. You don't see any amount. Rav Moshe is quoted as saying the shear is 3 tefachim. So if it moves less than whatever 3 tefachim is, command the laser, it doesn't count. So other poskim presumably disagree with this psak. Rav Moshe for the following reason. 3 tefachim doesn't mean it doesn't exist. 3 tefachim is a halacha mashu mesirah called lavud. Anything that looks machitzas that's within 3 tefachim of something is considered to be as if it's connected. So let's say you have a wall that's less than 3 tefachim off the ground. So technically the wall is not sitting directly on the ground, but there's a gap of less than 3 tefachim between the bottom of the wall and the ground. That's when the halacha mashu mesirah lavud kicks in. So let's say you have in a sukkah, so you have breaks in the schach of less than 3 tefachim. That's where there's a halacha mashu mesirah lavud that kicks in. But to say that lavud means that it's kemat d'leisa, lavud means whatever happening, don't tell me what's actually happening. So others of would argue against Rav Moshe. So let's assume for now against the Chazon Ish. Let's assume for now, I'm not saying we're talking against the Chazon Ish, but let's assume for now, like the steamers are earlier poskim, like the simple reading of the earlier poskim, the mechitas that move are considered to be a problem. And let's assume even against Rav Moshe's Chiddush that even moving even less than 3 tefachim would pose a problem. So the question is, if all of that is correct, how do we view these canvas sukkahs, the prefab sukkahs, that clearly are moving? So the Shulchan Aruch discusses them. The Shulchan Aruch says that in theory what a person could do is he could tie them down. And if a person could have a mechitza that per se is made out of material that's movable in the wind, but if you treat it in such a way that when Maisa is not moving, you tie it down, you rope it down, so now Tacha is not moving, then you created a stronger mechitza. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Manas Kamina, whether you make a brick wall, or whether you take a mechitza that's not a brick wall, but you tie it down in such a way that Tacha is not moving, so you've created a brick wall. So the Shulchan Aruch says, technically speaking, that would be okay. However, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the name of one of the Rishonim, the Rebbeinu Peretz, says that there's a little bit risky, it's a little bit tricky. You're going to tell your average person, no problem. Your wall per se is really not good. Objectively, it's no good, but just tie it down strong. Says you've been a parrot. That happened. Since you've been a parrot, you're going to tell the regular people, stop tie down the walls, they're not going to do a good job, they're not going to tie it down properly. And then the mechitza is going to be lifted up, it's going to sway in the wind. So therefore, says you've been a parrot, and we quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that we don't recommend to tie down the sukkahs, even though technically it would work, because it's a gezeirah, chashash, you're not going to do a good job. So the ikaron, if it's really tied down properly, to whatever extent it has to be, Ramayish others, so the sukkah is good in the Torah, but nevertheless, as a as a chashash, as a recommendation, the Shulchan Aruch says one really shouldn't do it. So is there any way to really make a sukkah, take a prefab sukkah, and really make it a good sukkah l'choladeis? Is there any way to get around this problem, a potential of a deraisa? And even if somehow will solve a deraisa, take a problem by tying it down, the Shulchan Aruch frowns upon doing this. Is there any way to really take a prefab sukkah and circumvent the entire problem of mechita shedicha olam? So again, the starting point of the sugya is when you have a wall that's movable in the wind, according to many, many poskim, that's not a wall. It's not a wall for Shabbos, not a wall for sukkah. It's not acceptable. The question is, well, Maisa, how could you possibly build a sukkah with a canvas with a prefab in such a way that circumvents this entire problem? So here we can invoke a principle we just mentioned before. That's the principle called lavud. Lavud is halacha l'moshe m'sinai inuchos mechitzos. Lavud means that whenever you have gaps, breaks within a mechitza, which are less than three tefachim, three tefachim for our purposes, it's also a little tricky. It's just exactly how much three tefachim is. There's mechoik is a poskim whether the tefach is anywhere from about 3 inches to about 4 inches, because it's hard to tell. It's the size of an average person's fist. How big is an average sized person? So it's also a little bit tough to tell. It's probably somewhere in the middle. Moshe Feinstein put the shiv lavud, put the shiv a tefach at 3.6 inches, which would put lavud, do your math, would do lavud at 10.8 inches. So again, a little bit of a discrepancy in the poskim, some put it a little bit at 9 inches, 11 inches. There are different opinions, but you know, as a ballpark figure, a tefach is somewhere between 3 to 4 inches, and lavud being somewhere from 9 to 12 inches. So there is a halacha l'moshe m'sinai that if you have a gap, you have a break of less than 3 tefachim, it's considered to be as if it's connected. And we have the Shnayas that say this explicitly in Masechet Eruvin when it comes to building mechitzas for the purpose of Eruvin. Let's say a person finds himself in an area and you have to make a really makeshift mechitza. You can't build up a wall. What? You can't even put up a tzuras atas. You can't even put up wires on top of poles. What can you do? So the Mishnah says one possibility is makifin bechavolin. If you can make strings, if you can connect strings from one area to another, and each string is less than 3 tefachim away from the other string, and the strings go up to a height of 10 tefachim, you've created a mechita for the purpose of Hilchos Shabbos and Eruvin. So what would that mean practically? The person, I guess that's why they brought the block, whatever, you know, he's going to need pictures, I don't think they chalk it, but we'll do without it. So let's say you have, when I was saying a shiur in Berlin before the summer, so I was saying a shiur in Hilchos Mikvos. I don't know if anyone saw that, it was just a big chag, it was just a chag esmicha in Berlin a couple of days ago. Some of the boys who I taught Hilchos Mikvos injured. So I was saying a shiur in Hilchos Mikvos. So they gave me this big board with a big marker and everything. So I was having such a good time, I was drawing, they forgot to even one thing. There's no eraser. There's no way. After I finished the first 10 minutes, I had no way of continuing this year, so I just kind of had to improvise a little bit. But anyway, so here we have a bigger problem. We don't have the chalk yet. So getting back to the story. So you want to make a mechitza, and all you have is these strings, these wires. Very simple. The Mishnah says, go down on your hands and knees to the ground and start counting tefachim. So let's say this would be the ground. One tefach, two tefach, two tefach, three tefachim. Right before three tefachim mark, take a string and string it across. Then continue. One tefach, two tefachim. Oh, just before three tefachim mark. Another string. One, two, three. Keep on doing that until you reach the point of 10 tefachim. Once you reach the point of 10 tefachim, then you're home free. You say, lavud from the ground to the string. It's as if it's a solid mechitza there. Lavud from string number one to string number two. Lavud from string number two to string number three. Three to four. Do the math. Figure out how many strings you need. A good math problem with algebra. How many strings do you need of less than 3 tefachim apart in order to reach 10 tefachim? I don't know if I think I've got the four strings and another thing. So you makif mechavolim, you make your strings, and says the Mishnah, you have a mechitza right now, and you're permitted to carry. Comes the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah and invokes the same principle when it comes to a sukkah. You can build a sukkah like that also. Makif mechavolim, you can make a sukkah out of strings. As long as you don't have three tefachim between one and the next, that's perfectly okay. So that's a sukkah, that's kshera. So come the poskim and say, here's the solution. Come the poskim and say, very simple. You have a mechitza that's swaying in the wind. So you don't want to get involved in the machlokes. The Chazanish says that it's good, and the Rambam and Avraham says it's no good, and the Rambam says less than 3 tefachim swaying is good, and others disagree. And a bit of parrot. So many problems, so complicated. All of last week's year, I'm going to circumvent the whole problem. I'm going to make believe that my real mechitza for my sukkah is not the canvas. I don't need the canvas. What am I going to do? I don't want to make a solid sukkah. I don't want to make a big wood sukkah. It's a half level year to carry the wooden panels. What am I going to do? I'm going to make a sukkah out of strings. I'm going to make a sukkah out of chavalim. Now, it's very convenient to do this because, as we all know, all the canvas sukkahs come on metal poles anyway. So it's a cinch. You take some string and you draw a string. You get down your hands and knees, less than 3 tefachim. You go a string from one pole to the next pole. The next pole to the next pole, go around, and sure, you have a kosher sukkah. I'll tell you a secret, you don't need the canvas then. You can take the whole canvas down. Of course you need the canvas, because no one's going to want to sit in such a sukkah. It's going to get a little cold in this time of year, but in theory it's going to get a little chilly. That's going to be the most tenuous sukkah, and where are you going to hang the decorations on the street? So obviously you're going to put up the canvas. But technically speaking, Balmayalka, you don't need the canvas, because you have a perfectly kosher sukkah with strings that have to be tight. If the strings aren't tight and the strings themselves are flying in the wind, then what did you accomplish? But if you make strong, tight strings, less than 3 tefachim from the ground, each one, then Mamashim created a sukkah that's for Chol Sheir.
So you have 2 points. Number one,
that's the solution to the problem.
Love
breaks
it.
Love
it.
The Gdi comes, the Gdi.
You tell
him
it's
Love, it can't go through. Okay.
And what about is combining now 2 halachot to Moshe Mishnah?
What's the second halakha machinery?
You have only 10 tefachim.
I mean, I'm going to back it. Actually, okay, so there is a machlokes, it's a very big chiddush of Rabbi Kivay. I don't know if and when we'll ever get to discuss this, but that idea that you can't combine 2 halakha machinery is a tremendous chiddush that such a thing exists. The Shulchan Aruch for sure doesn't pass something like that. And even Rabbi Kivay, who claims that the Ran accepts it, so that's only true when you combine the 2 halakha machinery together in the same spot. Here, you're using lovut to create a machitza, and then you're using a good asik to connect the mechitza to the sach. It's not the same thing. It's not. That's what is your violation?
I can never do b'dochan akuma.
You would be able to. No. That's the problem. If you want to use a good asik with a dochan akuma, that's where the issue of combining to halachos sinas kicks in. Because there you're trying to use in the same spot. I have a mechitza on the bottom and I have a dochan akuma on the top, and I'm trying to merge the two. So I'm invoking 2 halachos sinas at the same time to do that. That's the potential problem. And again, it's a chiddush of the chiddush of the chiddush, which only Rabbi Kivayger quotes, and even Kivayger pashas doesn't even accept the halacha.
So you put up 4 strings up to 10 tefachim, 4 tefachim. The pole is 8 feet high, so you could have the schach, even
right.
Though there's a
that's right.
Big
gap. Right, that's called durasik. Right, that's a durasik. Right, durasik doesn't matter. Right. That's a mishnah. First mishnah. That's okay. So that's an eitza. That's a suggestion that some have made. Some actually even try to market that. They think, you know, why we market everything else today? Why should I tell people to go buy their own strings? They'll come with the sukkah. You buy.
Right, it's a big market in Israel. It's called what else? Sukkah.
With the strings, with the
belts.
Yeah, the belts, the gartels. The Rabbi Vadi also called the gartel sukkah, but we call the gartel sukkah, right? Comes, if you want to get it with your gartel usher, it comes together at 2 for the price of 1. Anyway, so this is one potential eitzah. However, there's a little bit of a problem with this eitzah. I don't know, probably a little bit of a potential issue with this eitzah. We started out by saying a mechitza based on lovud. It's kavaldik. What could be wrong? The kikh bechavalim. It's a mishneirvin. It's a brisa. It's a second sukkah. What could possibly be wrong with a sukkah that's invoking lovud to create the walls? There is a Magen Avraham based on a Tosfos, based on also Eirvin in the first parak of the sukkah. The Magen Avraham goes up with the following chiddush. Magen Avraham says, "B'mnei devar mamurim that lovud works. Lovud is not the best possible mechitza. Lovud's a kula. Lovud's a chiddush. It works." But says the Magen Avraham, there's a chumra midrabanan. Now, why in the world Chol made this chumra is based on a complicated sugya we're not going to discuss now. But the Magen Avraham claims that midrabanan, the Chol made the chumra, that you're only permitted to rely on lovud if you have a real 4-wall sukkah. But if your sukkah is only 3 walls, which is usually kshayr, the first mission sukkah, then all you need is 3 walls. Says the Magen Avraham, when do we accept the 3-wall sukkah? That's when there are 3 walls, when there are 3 solid walls. But if you're relying on lovud, you're only having walls based on wires and strings and gartels and bells, etc. Says the Magen Avraham, then you have to have a 4-wall sukkah. That can't be a Magen Avraham. Now, whether or not we even pass like this Magen Avraham is question number one. Whether this is applicable here is question number two. What's the issue? Over here, in our heart of hearts, we think the sukkah is probably kshayer with just the canvas alone. We don't want to be mighty laws on the people who are making prefab sukkahs. They rely on the chazanish and the moshe, the things we spoke about the Arichas last week. So again, we're not going to say that someone who has a prefab sukkah, someone who doesn't have any gartels and belt, we're not going to say the sukkah is psula. We have no right to say that. The chazanish that is kshayer, who am I to say it's psula? But we were ma'orer that it's not me saying it's psula. Maybe the Magen Avraham, maybe the Mishnah Berurah. There are gedolei poskim who do not accept the chazanish. That seems pretty clear. So we want to make the sukkah kshera lechetchila shel lechetchila. So we came up with this eitza. We'll make the sukkah kshera by making the gartels, making the bells, making the strings. But now comes the Magen Avraham and tells us, if you want to create a sukkah based on lovehood, it's got to be on all four sides. So we say to ourselves, okay, great. We'll invest in another belt, in another set of strings. We'll make the strings go around all four sides of the sukkah. And Shalom Yisrael, therefore, a real sukkah is the belts. And we're going to make the belts kshayer in such a way that it's even on all four sides. And the sukkah is going to even be kshayer according to the Magen Avraham. That's in the world of theory. Now the world of reality sets in. How are you going to get into the sukkah? You're going to trip on the sukkah. So if you want to, you want to make belts and strings around three sides of the sukkah, your wife's not watching, okay, good. Those are, it's not going to make a difference. Who cares whether there are strings and belts over there? But if you're going to make it on the fourth side, Surah HaPesach, remember, we're not so thrilled with Surah HaPesach. Remember, we had issues with Surah HaPesach last week in terms of sukkah. So what are you going to do? So here, look, over the eight says one of the eight says, if you can say, listen, ad kidei kach, to be machmer for this Magen Avraham, and a sukkah that's probably kshayer anyway, but that's all. Ad kidei kach, we're not going to be chashish. That's one possibility. Or you can have the best of both worlds. What can you do? When the Magen Avraham says that you have to have a real, you have to have lovehood on all four sides, what does the Magen Avraham mean by that? That means you have to have on all four halachic sides of the mechitza. What's the sheer width of a sukkah? How wide does the sukkah have to be? How long does the sukkah have to be? So the halachah has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. That's the minimum size of the sukkah. I make a little doghouse sukkah. It's 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. The sukkah is kshayer lechatchila. So when the Magen Avraham says you have to have walls, you have to have love on all four sides, it doesn't mean you have to have going around the entire box, the entire square of the sukkah. So you can do like this. Make a... we help the boy, but okay. Here's one side of your sukkah. Canvas, and it's usually a pole in the middle and a flap or something. That's usually what the fourth side looks like. So from this side to this side, make strings going all the way across. Again, a whole series of strings and gartels, your belts, less than three tefachim to the top, on one side. It's not going to hurt. You're not walking through the canvas anyway. So make your strings on one side. Then make your strings on the other side. Then make your strings on the third side. And now you want to be head to the Magen Avraham. Make your strings on the fourth side, but not entirely on the fourth side. Only make it on half of the fourth side. So if you have a sukkah that has a pole in the middle, most of the sukkahs have a pole in the middle, you're not going to walk through the whole fourth side. Usually you're going to walk through that little opening, a little flap that you're going to walk through. So close off that fourth side halfway. Put some strings on the fourth side, and Shalom Yisrael, you'll have a sukkah that's kshay v'lechatchila shalechatchila. There'll be a lovehood on all four sides. No one's going to trip, no one's going to walk over the strings. That's going to be mamish kshay v'lechatchila. Again, this is if you want your sukkah to be yatsa b'day, kol pikpuk shiva olam. Those who don't want to make the strings on the fourth side, there's no room to make the strings on the fourth side, definitely accomplish something by making strings on the three sides. Because me'ikra din, that's okay. And even those who don't make any strings, there's also me'ikra din, okay, can't say it's possible, because nisha is kosher, that's not called falling down, because since the sukkah is still standing, even though it's moving, it's swaying in the wind, that in itself doesn't pass the sukkah, it's still kosher. So again, if you want a hierarchy of canvas sukkahs, lefidian society, the best way of building a... If you don't have canvas sukkah matas, but those who have canvas sukkahs, they want to use canvas sukkahs. So the hierarchy of the idea is, if you're able to maneuver a way that you have strings at all four sides, at least partially on the fourth side, 7 tefachim wide, lechatchila shelechatchila, I think that's what it is. Those who want to make strings on three out of the four sides, definitely acceptable. And those who don't want to make any strings, also can't say it's possible, because the Chazanish himself said that it's kosher. So that's the previous night, you know, the Shiraim. It was the end of last week's year. We can start yet today, sure, yet in a few minutes. But that was the Shiraim of last week's year in terms of fixing up any potential issues with the canvas sukkahs.
Poke some holes in the canvas so the wind goes right through.
It's not going to help. And we said that, according to the Magen Avraham, that's like building the wall inside, since the wall there, it's loose, so it can't really hold itself.
But if you build it in a deck, and you have in the bed, let's say, the board, that can be considered.
Oh, even if you have the structure, but again, very often people
but then you will need different akuma, because the sack may not reach all the way to the. The end of the deck.
No, don't put a kuma only works with chak posel, doesn't work for avir. You can't have a breakable of three tefachim with avir between the walls and the. But now we move into the next, so you would really want to learn this week, we'll learn, I mean the next time as well. And that's an issue that comes up in the canvas sukkahs, but the truth is it comes up in regular sukkahs, comes up in wooden sukkahs, it comes up in all the sukkahs, and that's the issue of ma'amid. The issue of, okay, I have my kosher walls, whoever I made them, I have my kosher schach, and the question is, how is the schach resting on the walls? What is the halacha? So we know that there are a whole series of complicated halachas as to what makes up kosher schach. Oh, did him the rice, the gemadash, some sukkah, the first part of sukkah. The basic criteria of schach are, it has to be something that was growing in the ground, it has to be something that is no longer growing in the ground, so it has to be gedulah menakarka, but tolosh menakarka. And of course, it has to be something which is ainam makabal tumah, something that's not susceptible to tumah. Those are the basic requirements in terms of schach. If any of these conditions are missing, then the schach is posel min ha-Torah, the sukkah is psul min ha-Torah. What is the halach as follows? The walls, there is no halacha. The walls can be made out of anything, again, assuming that it's yecholam and feruach. The walls can be bricks, the walls can be wood, the walls can be fiberglass, the walls can be the side of the house, whatever, it doesn't matter. Question becomes, is there any halacha that governs what the schach is resting on? Something that's holding up the schach. Does something that's holding up the schach have to meet any criteria in terms of being kosher to ochel sukkah or not? So this is a big, big discussion in the Rishonim, which revolves around the sugya that appears in the beginning of the second parak of the second sukkah. The Gemara discusses, the Mishnah actually discusses, a somecha sukkasa b'kari hamita. A person is supporting his sukkah, supporting his schach with kari hamita. Kari hamita means like the edges of a bed, like the sides of a bed. So he takes the planks of a bed, and he's using those planks of a bed, like, you know, the old day bed was basically two pieces of wood, it's a third wood to sleep on, and that was your bed. So a person is using the karyanita, the legs and the sides of the bed to support the schach. Is that considered to be a problem or not? What's the issue? So it's machlekes ha-tanoim, machlekes ha-birim ne-chachamim. So chachamim say, ha-somech sukkasa b'karyanita, k'shem, what's the problem? So the sukkah is being held up by the planks of the bed, so what? If the schach is kosher, the walls of gravity is kosher, who cares what's holding up the schach? And Rabbi Yehuda Paisel, Rabbi Yehuda says that a somech sukkasa b'karyanita is a problem. What's the problem? So the Gemara has two different interpretations. Machlokes ha-Maroim, what exactly the problem was? Alibi the Rebbe Yehuda. The Chum say there's no such issue. The Sukkah is k'sheir l'chetchila, but Rebbe Yehuda holds it's a problem. What's the issue? So the Gemara has two different possibilities. One possibility is l'fisha ein lav keva, that the Sukkah is too temporary. And there's Machlokes ha-Rishonim, what exactly that means. Some Rishonim Rashi interprets that to mean that some of the sukkahs b'kara mita means you can mamish pick the whole sukkah up. You can walk the sukkah away. The sukkah is mamish on a bed, so you take the bed here, put it over there. It's an easy, very easy, maneuverable sukkah. That would be a problem. In lechava, like the sukkah is like, you know, people zip up the sukkahs, put them back in the car, move them around. That would potentially be a problem according to Rabbi Yehuda. We say she in lechava. At least that's Rashi's trap. Says the Gemara, another interpretation. The reason why the sukkah is no good, because you're supporting the schach with something which itself is psula for schach. Why are the sides of a bed psula for schach? It's made out of wood. So after all, wood is something which grew in the ground, is detached from the ground. So what's the problem? The problem is it's makabal tumah. A bed is makabal tumah. Even if something used to be part of a bed and now it's taken apart, it's called shivrei kelim. It's also a problem. So a bed is, let's say, you want to take a bed, the planks of a bed, and use that for the schach? That's out of the question. So comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, according to one opinion in the Gemara, just as you can't use the planks of a bed itself for schach, you can't be ma'amid the schach with something which itself is psula for a sukkah. So I can't divrei Gemara. So again, we have a double machlekes. We have a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum, whether there's any problem at all with the karyamita. And we have a problem. Machlekes number two is, assuming there's a problem, what is the reason for the problem? How do we pass in halacha? So this is a big machlekes of Rishonim. So the Baal Amor in Masechta Sukkah says, we follow the Chachamim, Yochef Ram, Mokarabim, we follow the charity view. So according to the Baal Amor, this is again, there's nothing to discuss. According to the Baal Amor, Sandam Shachris, there's nothing to talk about, because we pass in like the Chachamim, to carry and eat this Kshem and finish. Who cares what the reason for view it is if we don't pass it away? But most of the Rishonim probably don't accept the Baal Amor. Most of the Rishonim follow Rabbi Yehuda. What led most of the Rishonim to follow Rabbi Yehuda? From the fact that the Gemara invests the time in discussing Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara is all machlekes amarayim. Why did Rabbi Yehuda say what he said? One Gemara says this, reason, one Amora says the other reason, and Nafkamina, and Araya. So the Amora, generally speaking, spent most of the discussion on Shitas that we pass in Halacha. So you find this at the end of Rishon very often. If the Gemara will go out of its way to analyze the Shita, even though based on the regular quality of Psach, we probably shouldn't have accepted that Shita, we probably would not have passed like Rav Yehuda against the Chachamim. But here, the flow of the whole Sugya and Sugya is, in fact, the support of Yehuda. So most of the Rishonim disagree with the Malamah, most of the Rishonim assume we do accept Rav Yehuda. However, even assuming that we accept Rav Yehuda, what is the reason for Rav Yehuda? So again, we still have two reasons for why Rav Yehuda said what he said. So we have a further machlokes that Rishonim, assuming Rav Yehuda is right, we're not sure that's true, but assuming Rav Yehuda is right, why did Rav Yehuda say what he said? So come some Rishonim and say, because of the Eitz Kever reason, and come a small group of Rishonim and say, no, the real, honest to goodness reason for Rav Yehuda is that they shema amid the dover on Makabal Tumah. Because you're holding up the schach with something which is possible, which is the dover on Makabal Tumah. That's the reason for Rav Yehuda. Everything we're going to talk about is assuming that that reason is true. So again, we made quite a few assumptions. We're assuming that we pass like Rav Yehuda, and we're assuming the chumradika version of Rav Yehuda. So assuming that, chumradika, whatever you want to call it, assuming the version is, there's a problem called ma'amid, we call it ma'amid. What is the reason for ma'amid? Assuming such a thing exists, many of the Rishonim say there's no such a thing, but assuming such a thing exists, what's the reason for ma'amid? What in the world could be wrong with ma'amid? So here we have a machlokes in the Rishonim, between Rashi and the Ran. What is the potential problem of ma'amid if the problem is the soul together? So comes the Ran and says, min ha-Torah, there's nothing wrong with the soul. What could possibly be wrong with the soul? The walls are kshayus, walls can be made out of anything. The schach is perfectly kosher, it has bamboo poles, it got branches, what could be wrong with the schach? What? I'm using a wooden board to hold the schach in place. What could possibly be wrong with that Torah? Says the Ran, nothing. What's the problem? It's a gezeira. It must be. It's a gezeira. The Rabbanon Shema, and they come to be mesachech with that itself, which is possible schach. A person comes and sees the sukkah and sees there's a lot of things up there on top of the sukkah. I see some bamboo poles, I see some branches, I see some wooden boards from beds. So next thing you know, next year when I make the sukkah, I'll forget the bamboo poles, forget the branches, and I'll use the boards for the beds, which of course will be psula bin Torah. So therefore, to prevent this potential mistake, therefore the Rabbi Yehuda made a gezeira that lo l'sachech v'kiri amita, not to l'sachech b'dvarma, I'm sorry, not to be ma'amid b'dvarma psulim, gezeira shemiyav l'sachech b'hem. This is the Ran's version of Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. However, when one looks at Rashi on the sugya, at the beginning of the second of sugya, you get the impression Rashi does not learn this way. Rashi says, you know what's wrong with ma'amid? Says Rashi, when X is holding up Y, X and Y become one and the same. X up the aloch is considered to be like part of Y. The Dovra Mamid is like part of the Sach. Up the aloch is not a gzeri, you make up to make a mistake, but up he did. Pashas min ha-Torah, it becomes the same. The Tanuach is one entity. And therefore, says Rashi, all the halachas that govern the schach proper govern the Dovra Hamamid as a schach as well. This is, appears to be Shittas Rashi. So now we have three issues. That this machloek is about every one of the issues.
But Rashi will not carry it as it tends to be in the Roman Arts.
That's what Rashi would sound like. That's what Pashas Rashi would say. That it's governed all the halachas of Chach. That's the Pashas Rashi. So we have three different issues now. Each one is subject to machloekis. We have issue number one. Do we follow Rabbi Yehuda? Do we follow the Chacham? If we follow the Chacham again, then the discussion is a moot discussion. According to the Balamor, there's no problem with Mamet because we don't even accept Rabbi Yehuda. That was issue number one. Issue number two, assuming Rabbi Yehuda is correct, which version of Rabbi Yehuda do we follow? Do we follow the version of Ein Lakeva, which would again be irrelevant to this discussion, or do we really accept there's a problem with Mamet? Issue number three, assuming that there is a problem with Mamet, to what degree is there a problem with Mamet? Is Mamet a problem only with the Rabbanon? Gezeira Shema Yisachek Lehem? Or is ma'amid a problem, even on the level of deraisa, it becomes ma'amid part of the schach. So we have three different issues that have to be resolved in terms of this discussion. Why is this relevant for us? This is very, very relevant for us. It's relevant for the prefab sukkahs, it's relevant for the regular sukkahs as well. Where is the schach resting? So on a typical canvas sukkah, where would one think to rest the schach? Very simple. On the poles. What are the poles? Poles of metal. The poles of metal is Gevalt. The schach is resting on the metal. The metal is a dover, which is a kli. It's a kli matechetz. It's a dover makabel tuma, and it's interviewed with an akaka. It's got a lot of problems. The metal itself, but we want to make use a schach, metal pole, that would be out of the question. So if you accept Rabbi Yehuda, there's a problem of Mamid, I have a new problem now. How? Forget about the fact that my schach is kosher. My schach itself is kosher, but my schach is resting on something which is possible. The metal poles are holding up the schach. That's a problem. According to the Rad, it's a problem in the Rabban. According to the Rashi, it could be a problem in the Raisa. But this problem exists even not in the canvas sukkahs. It exists in regular sukkahs as well. A person has a wooden sukkah. What exactly is holding up the schach? So people have different things that hold up the schach. Sometimes people have metal poles, even in a wooden sukkah. Sometimes people have cross beams, and they have metal on it. Maybe a lot of issues, maybe a lot of things that are holding up the schach. Must I look every time I build the sukkah and ask myself, what is supporting the schach? Is it a dover, hamakabel tuma? Is it something which is kosher for schach or not? That's going to depend on the three different issues that we're raising. Do we follow Rav Yehuda? Do we follow the Chachamim? If we follow Rav Yehuda, what's the reason for Rav Yehuda? And if we assume the worst case scenario, that it's a problem, is it a problem to the degree of the Araisa, or is it only a problem to the degree of the Rabbanan? So this week we created the problems. Hopefully next year we'll try to find the solution. That seems to be our pattern development. Okay, hopefully next time. Yeah, that seems to be our pattern here. So last week we developed all the problems of the canvas. This week we try to find some solutions. Now we're creating all the problems. That's why it's good for us. Everyone to come to the everyone's super depending on when you come to the second half of the year. So hopefully Mitzvah will continue next time. Not next Friday. Next Friday is Rosh Hashanah. So for Mitzvah, the following Friday is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur short slickers anyway. So the schedule just for the next 2 weeks is the bottom line is the shiur always starts 40 minutes before slickers. So whatever time slickers is, that's the beginning of the day, you check out that. And hopefully the shiur will start that. So it should be then. The only problem is then we'll never then we'll never check to finish it. Unless we finish it on a Tuesday. I don't know. It'll be something, hopefully. We'll figure it out.
You laugh, I asked you years ago, they recommend that you will have. But it really needs to make sense. You have to get, there's so many brands of chocolate.
Right. No, I already used it. My wife said, oh, look, by the way.
But I call the shear.
Hey,
Rabbi,
what do I call the shear?
So it's a different part.
Canvas
is part two.
Right, and the other part?
The other half is. Mommy. Support.